a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. As we come together, fellowship with one another to enjoy the singing of praises unto God. On this morning, as we come together, I would like for us to think about Jesus. I could go around the room and I could ask, who do you say that Jesus is? And we're getting many, many different answers. But the most common answer that we find and we hear is that he is the Son of God. Others would say that he is my Savior. Now, that answer generally comes from those out in the world. I just want you to know now, he's my Savior. How did he become your Savior? What did he do? And they can tell you that. He died on the cross of Calvary. They can quote John 3:16. And then you ask them, what did you do? Did you do? There are many different answers that they will give. I prayed. I invited him into my heart. I wanted him and I asked him to be my personal Savior. Or my grandmother prayed for me, or my mom prayed for me, my friends prayed for me, so therefore he is my Savior. Well, if that's what they think, they need to think again. And we need to explain to them the importance, and I said this two or three weeks ago, we was going to talk about six very important things, and on last week, we talked about the importance of hearing, the importance of hearing. On this morning, we're going to talk about the importance of believing, the importance of believing. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God. And by knowing this, we learn to do what the scripture says. In the book of Matthew chapter 16, once again, who do you say he is? Or the question that Jesus asked, who do you say I am? It's a very good question. And I believe that we can ask ourselves that same question today. Who do we say that he is? What are we telling men? What are we telling women? What are we telling our children? Reference to Jesus Christ. Book of Matthew chapter 16, and we look at verse 14, and they said, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. That's what they say. They were all wrong, right? Jesus asked this question. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? One of my quotes that I like, and I really and truly hope that others would understand who God is. As God told Moses, you tell them, I am sent you, or sent you, sent me. I am sent me. God sent him. God is the great I am. I tell people from time to time, I am who I am because he is who he is. The great I am. But Jesus answered this to them, or Peter answered this, his reply, when Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. John the Baptist, the Bible teaches us, identified him as the Messiah. He's the one that came to save. And that's what the angel told Mary, that you shall give birth to a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. The Savior. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. You know, as we learn who Jesus Christ is, we hear the message concerning him, we need to do something with the message. You know, there used to be, you have the little, there's some still use them, little sticky pads, and you write these little messages down for people, those that are secretaries, those that, you know, are, you know, runners for this person or that person. You write them a message, you leave them a message, and when they get there, they read the message and they need to do something with that message. We get messages on our phones, or some do it, some don't, because you call some people's phones and say, hey, their mailbox is full, you can't leave a message. They need to go back and they need to check those messages, and they need to delete the ones that are no good, and they need to answer the ones that need an answer. But as this statement is made, reference to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by Peter, this is what Jesus said. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, in verse 17, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. God revealed it to you. And as God revealed it unto Peter, who Jesus Christ was or is, we need to understand that we need to be obedient to what he says, because he's the Son of God. But therein we find again, John the Baptist says he is the Messiah. The Messiah. And when we know that he is the Messiah, the Savior, the one that has come to seek and to save those lost, that according to Luke chapter 19, verse 10, we need to look at his word and we need to do the things that are right. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. I want us to be able to tell people who Christ is. I want us to be able to tell people what Christ came to do. I want us to be able to tell people what Christ did. I want us to be able to tell people what Christ is still doing today. We need to know these things, and we need to know these things because this is what our salvation is all about. It's not about me getting mine and you get yours the best way you can. It's about us obtaining salvation and then helping others along the way, telling them who Jesus Christ is. Luke chapter 1 and the verse is 17. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready the Lord a people prepared. This is John, what John's mission was all about. And did John not fulfill his mission? Yes, he fulfilled it. Must we fulfill our mission today? Yes, we must fulfill it. And Peter, again, going back to Matthew, he said that you, the Son of the living God, the Son of the living God. There's no one greater, no one greater than Jesus Christ. Because he's the only one that was without sin. He's the only one that could have went to the cross of Calvary to give his life for the sins of the world. The only one. Why am I telling you these things this morning? Because it is important that we believe who Jesus Christ is. It's important that we believe what he came to do. It's important that we teach people these things, and that as we teach them, we instill in them the importance of obeying before it is too late. We find in Nathanael in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 43. John chapter 1 and the verse is 43. See, not everyone looked at Jesus as being someone great. And that's what the scripture says, Isaiah 53rd chapter. There was nothing about him that was going to draw people or people to be esteemed by him. There was no beauty about him. He was just going to be a plain man. But the teachings were not plain. But Nathanael says here, in John chapter 1, verse 43, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Think about it. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." But the question that Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" He said, "I know where you were. I know what you were doing. Before he ever called you, I saw you under the fig tree." That should tell right there, hey, I need to follow this man. This man knows my going in. This man knows my coming out. This man knows exactly what I was doing. I need to follow him. Oh, we tell people sometimes, "I know what you were doing. I know exactly what you said." And then we wonder, how do you know? Who told you what I was saying? Who have you been talking to? Jesus didn't have to talk to anyone. It was God. He knew these things. And as he knew these things, the scriptures continue to read there in verse 49. Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God." Oh, it changes now, doesn't it? "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Just because I told you some things, now you say that I'm the Son of God. How do people feel about you when you tell them about God? When you tell them about what God has done for you, when you tell them about what God did by sending his son to this earth, how do people view you? Do they say that you are truly a Christian? Do they say that you are truly a man or a woman of God? When you tell them the truth, and that's what Jesus asked, "I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." Just because I saw you, now you say you believe. What makes man today believe in whom Jesus Christ is? What makes man believe? Let's think about it. Martha viewed him as the Christ, the Son of God. Martha, in John chapter 11, verse 27, when Jesus came to raise her brother Lazarus from the dead, she expressed her faith in Jesus. Why? Because of what she had seen and heard before. John chapter 11 in the verse is 27. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. I believe. I believe. I believe." And we ask people that question today. Who is Jesus Christ? Many will say, "I believe that he is the Son of God." Others will say, "I believe that he is my Savior." Others will say, "I believe he's the one that came to die for the sins of the world." I believe these things. It doesn't matter what you say as long as you believe. That's what I want you to get across this morning to you. That Jesus is truly the Son of God. He's the only one that could have went to the cross and died for the sins of the world. The only one. God sent him. God sent him. And the centurion said, "I view him as the Son of God. The Son of God." In the book of Matthew chapter 27, in the verse is 54. Matthew chapter 27, the verse is 24. You know, we have some people that are anxious sometimes about about doing what's right, or shall I say, as we talked about on Wednesday night, excited about doing the things that's right. You teach them the word of God, and they say, I'm ready to obey. Some would tell them, wait just a minute. I need to tell you just a little bit more. No, I'm ready now. Wait a minute. We got 7 lessons to go through. You got to finish these 7 lessons first. No, I'm ready now. Who's right? The person that you have taught the truth is right. They're ready. They're excited about obeying the gospel. Let them obey. And then let's continue to teach them the truth concerning Jesus, concerning what he came to do, concerning what he has done, concerning what they must do. Teach them the truth. Matthew chapter 27 and the verse is 54. When the centurion and those who were with him keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. This was the Son of God. At the death of Jesus, now they want to say, hey, he was the Son of God. We shouldn't have never done what we done. We shouldn't have never did those things. But you know, God has a way, and we talked about his plan a little bit this morning. God has a way. Now you say that he was the Son of God. It's not he was, and sometimes we mess that up. He is still the Son of God. Peter explained that to them in the book of Acts chapter 2. That same Jesus whom you crucified, God had made him both Lord and Christ. God has done, because you crucified him, that same Jesus, he has not changed. He is still Jesus. He is still the Son of God. But the centurion said he was truly the Son of God. I believe we need to back up just a little bit. And as we back up, we realize the words of God. Who do you, I messed that up, who does God say he is? Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Very simple, isn't it? This is God's words. As Jesus was being obedient unto the will of the Father, and he was baptized. Now we did. We backed up, did we not? We backed up even from what Peter said. We backed up, and we looked at what did God say. God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And then there in Matthew chapter 17, the verses 5. Matthew 17 and the verses 5. On the Mount of Transfiguration. We start with verse 1, Matthew chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face was shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, is it good that we are here? If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Now he's talking to Jesus, is he not? But you know, sometimes as we're talking, as we're speaking to someone, someone interrupts us to get our attention because we're not speaking the right things. And he says, as he was still speaking, when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. So what are we listening for? What were they supposed to listen for? The teachings of Jesus, the truth that Jesus brought before them, the same thing that we need to be listening to today is the truth concerning salvation. concerning what Jesus has done for us, concerning what God has done for us. John 3:16 again, as we look at the scriptures and we think about God's word and we think about the many people that are now looking at Bible. Why are they looking at Bible now? Because their world has been turned upside down. And they're trying to find some type of direction, but yet they're looking in all the wrong places. They're looking at God's word, viewing it as something that, oh, it's just a good book. Maybe I should do this right here and everything will be all right. Look what the Bible says in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only now begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, let's stop right there just for a moment. I believe that I don't need to go out and kill anyone. I believe that. I believe that I need to be truthful with my neighbor. I believe that. I believe that I don't need to take anything that my neighbor has. I need to treat his things like they're my things, but yet leave his things alone. I believe that. I believe that I need to love my wife and my wife only. I believe that. I believe that my children need to be obedient to me, and my children know and believe that they need to be obedient to me as well. They know that. They believe those things. But is that yet enough? When we start talking about believing that Jesus is the Son of God, are those things enough? The answer is no, they're not. We need to believe that Jesus came to this earth. We need to believe that he died for our sins. We need to believe that he was buried, that he raised from the grave, that he ascended into heaven to sit up on the right hand of the Father. Why do we need to believe that? We need to believe that because of what the book of Romans teaches us in Romans chapter 6. That just as Jesus was buried, we too must be buried. Just as Jesus was raised from the grave, we too must be raised out of the watery grave in order to walk a newness of life. You know, as we think about this, let's go to the book of Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And I want you to take time on this evening or sometime or another to read the sheet that was passed out earlier, a reference to those that trembled. And the reason why they trembled. Because just believing certain things or just believing that Jesus is the Son of God is not enough. And there's one that I should have put on here that I didn't. And that was the unclean spirits. They knew who Jesus was. They knew who he was. You are the Son of God in the book of Mark chapter 3 verses 10 through 11. But believing these things is not enough. There's something that must be done. As Philip told the eunuch in Acts chapter 8, he told him about Jesus because he did not know. Just as we did not know when someone first came to us and said, have you ever heard about Jesus? And we'll tell them, I heard about him. I heard that he's a good person. I heard that he did this. I heard that he did that. But have you really ever heard about Jesus? And that's what we look at when we look at Acts chapter 8 and we look at Philip going and teach the eunuch. It's starting with verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to worship, or come to Jerusalem to worship. Great explanation of who this man was. He was a court official. He was an Ethiopian. He was a eunuch. He was a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. Tells who he was and then tell what he did. He came to Jerusalem to worship. But he didn't get enough in Jerusalem. As he was going back home, the Bible says he was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join to this chariot. You go over there and join yourself to this chariot. You know, just as we should do today, as the Bible tells us to go and to teach, to preach, teach people about God's word, teach people about Jesus Christ, teach them about what salvation is all about, and then there's something you need to do once they learn, once they're ready to be obedient. And we're going to look at that in just a moment as we think about Philip going to that chariot. In the idea or the mindset of some men, when you go to them and you ask them, you know, I see you reading the Bible here. Do you understand what you're reading? No, many of them will look at us like we're crazy. If I didn't understand it, I wouldn't be reading it. Well, I want you to think about that statement. That statement really doesn't make any sense at all. Why do we read instructions? We read instructions because we don't understand what to do, so we need some instructions. So therefore, the eunuch, he was reading instructions, but he did not understand. And he was not afraid to admit that he did not understand. He said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guide me? I need someone to guide me. And Philip didn't say, well, wait a minute, I'll go get someone. They can come back and they can guide you. No, Philip had already been led by the Spirit to talk to this eunuch. He was not afraid to teach him about who Jesus Christ is. The Bible says, and he invited Philip to come and to sit with him. Now, the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep was he led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. Now, the eunuch, he's hearing these things, and he says, about whom? Himself? Or who is he talking about? Himself or some other prophet? Who is he talking about? I want to know. You know what Philip did? Philip didn't say, you know, you really shouldn't be reading that anyway. Let's move a little bit further. Let's go ahead and let's read the book of Amos. Let's go ahead and read the book of Micah. Let's go ahead and read those books. They're shorter than the book of Isaiah. You're confusing yourself. Don't read those things. That's not what Philip told him. The Bible says, then Philip opened his mouth, beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? He preached unto him Jesus, one version says. Preached unto him Jesus. And you know what happened as Jesus was being preached unto him? The eunuch believed what Philip was preaching. The eunuch believed that Jesus Christ was the Savior. The eunuch believed the things in which Philip taught him in reference to Jesus healing the lame, causing the blind to see, allowing the deaf to hear. He believed those things, how he went to the cross of Calvary and was crucified. He believed those things. And the Bible says, as he believed these things, it says, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water. Now, I want someone to get for me verse 37. I can go down and read that little print at the end of my Bible, but it's going to be hard for me. Brother Tanopoulos, can you read that?
Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Did it change? Did the confession that he made right there change from anything that anybody else has already said? No. He is the Son of God. He made that confession, and as he made that confession, the Bible said they both went down into the water. He commanded the chariot to stop. They both went down into the water, and when they came up out of the water, he was baptized, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit called Philip away, and the eunuch went away rejoicing. The message that he took with him as he went away rejoicing was that Jesus was crucified. Because he was reading Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Philip explained that to him. He told them, Jesus taught that baptism is what saves. So what hinders me from being baptized? What hinders? What hinders a man today from being baptized? Those that believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only thing that's stopping you is you. That's the only thing. No one is holding you back. Mom, dad can't hold you back. If you want to do it, you're going to do it. When they tell you not to do something at home, do you listen to them? Answer is no, you don't. You do what you want to do. You're supposed to listen to them. But when it comes to salvation, we need to understand that it is so important to listen to God. Listen to God. I knew a young lady who was afraid to get baptized because her mom told her not to. She said, if you get baptized, if you do that, I'm going to whip you. You know what her brother told her? It's worth it. It's worth it. He had already gotten his whipping. He had already obeyed the gospel. He told his little sister, he said, it's worth it. And he was so right. It is worth it. It is worth doing what God says rather than man. We need to understand that. Consequences sometimes, yeah, we pay for them. But sometimes the consequences don't even match up to what we have done. When you have done something great, no one can take that away from you. So let's not let man hinder us from obeying the truth. Let's not let man stop us from doing what we know to be right. In the end, we're all going to have to give an account. And if we go to the judgment seat and say, well, my mom wouldn't let me be baptized, or my dad wouldn't let me be baptized, you know what God is going to say, or Jesus is going to say? Well, I can't let you into heaven. Why? Because my father said you should have done this. My father said you should have done that. Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. So it's not mom and dad that's going to let you into heaven. You have to go through Jesus Christ. You have to do what's right. So once again, we have already understood and we already know the importance of hearing. Now do you see the importance of believing? Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believing that you need to be obedient unto his word. This is a believing faith. You have to do something with it. You just can't say, I believe. Go on about your business. You have to do something with it. We want you this morning to do something with it. Come and make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have your sins washed away in the watery grave. Add it to the Lord's body. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, praising God and having faith with all the people, the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. If you're here and you're ready, do not hesitate. Do not put off any longer. Do what is right on this day. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. We're asking you to come back. We're pleading with you. We're ready. God is willing and waiting. He is there. And I want you to know that when you come back, just like the prodigal son, the Bible tells you'll be welcomed with open arms. And we will pray for you. We will encourage you. We will help you along your way. If you're hearing your subject this morning, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.